All right, in Daniel chapter 3, we read about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, building a statue of gold. It was 90 feet high and 9 feet thick. That is one big statue. And the command at the time was that people were to basically worship the statue. You know, Jesus said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's. And we're to, you know, not worry. You look at the world we live in, we see the corruption. It doesn't mean you don't pay taxes because there's corruption and you don't like where the money's going. I think the words of our Lord apply to us today. We render to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's. But we need to understand that with this statue represented more than just giving to a corrupt government or a corrupt king. He demanded worship. And this gold statue represented something to be devoted to other than God. This statue is the spirit of the age that we contend with also. I don't see it having a person's face, but I do know it's religious in nature. The purpose of life as God has created us is to be all about Him. And the presence of this statue in the day that we live in, it makes it all about us. We see pride, a false sense of pride, being self-absorbed. Things of this nature come from the statue. The statue represents the futility of the age. And when we bow and are devoted to the statue of the spirit of this age, we're under futility. Our minds are under futility. Now, in Daniel chapter 3, three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down to the statue. And we know the story. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the furnace didn't burn them up, but actually there was a fourth person walking in with them. What they were bound with was all burned off. They were free. And the biggest thing that came out of that was Nebuchadnezzar, who, you know, talk about an ego trip. It's one thing to say, I'm your king, I want you to serve me. It's another thing to say, I'm your king, I want you to worship me. He was really, his mind was deceived and pulled as far away as from the direction of God's will as a human mind can be pulled away. But after they went into the furnace and they were not touched by it, but set free, it changed his mindset. He said, there's never been a God like this. This is what we need to pay attention to, because this is where we're at. Amen. The presence of God is going to be a fire. Our God is a consuming fire, the scripture says. So those two words go together. And if we're not going to compromise with the truth, what do I mean by that? Am I talking about being dogmatic about our beliefs and doctrine? No. I'm talking about the truth as Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I'm concerned for you, lest you be led astray from the simplicity of your devotion to Christ. This is all about devotion to our Lord. And when we have that set in our hearts, that's what it means to not compromise the truth. And what that does is it brings you into the fire of His presence. In the natural, we have fears about fire. You want to picture this a different way. It's like a beautiful day and you're down at the ocean and you want to go for a swim. Yet it's winter time. You go, the water's just too cold. I mean, you don't know how it is trying to jump into cold water. Amen. Some of that spray coming off the water, you realize how warm it is and inviting. And you go into the water. Well, the fire of God's presence is something that in the natural we may fear. Fire's not a good thing. It's going to burn me up. No, actually, the fire of His presence is going to set you free. And what the fire of His presence does as we enter in is there's that fourth person. That's the atmosphere where Christ is revealed. And when Christ is revealed, the deception of the age is broken. They didn't try to talk Nebuchadnezzar the king out of his beliefs and say, you know, you're way off base here. We've got to give you the word here, you know, God is to be worshipped, your mind's deceived. They simply acted in obedience and followed the Lord. And by not compromising with the truth, God's spirit changed the mind of the king. Amen. All of a sudden, his eyes were open to see who the true God is. We're not going to change the political system and all the corruption by just preaching sermons at it, throwing words at it. As we experience the presence of God as fire, remember it's the Holy Spirit and fire that we're baptized with? There is an anointing that will break the yoke on people's thinking. Deception is going to break over leaders, and they're going to recognize who the true God is and our Heavenly Father. So what we need in going into this fire of the Spirit, I think we need to be refreshed by the Spirit. Remember again about the ocean? I don't know about jumping in, it's too cold, but if you feel that spray come and it's nice and warm, then the fear evaporates and you go into the water. We need the presence of God to refresh us and remove the fear and reluctance we have in entering his presence. There's a fear that can be like a sense of withdrawal from the presence of God. It's kind of amazing to me that in our thinking we can be so religious and all we talk about is God's presence, yet actually in our lives we can be afraid of it. We're afraid of the changes his presence will bring to us, so we can pull away or back away. We need seasons of refreshing where the Holy Spirit refreshes our lives so that fear goes away and we're more open to participating and experiencing the presence of God. Amen. Where we can welcome the fire because we know the fire represents freedom and the revelation of Christ. This is Acts 3:19 from the Message Bible. Now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you and send you the Messiah he has prepared for you. Okay, this seasons of refreshing are all about changing our ways. But what does it say to do? It's not talking about self-improvement courses here or beating yourself up. Turn to face God. Where's God? He's a consuming fire. It's that presence of fire. So that he can wipe away your sins. Now, you think, well, wait a minute. I thought my sins were already wiped away. Yes, Jesus paid the price on the cross. And from God's perspective, he doesn't relate to us through our sins. He's not holding our sins over our head. But we in our thinking, being influenced by the accuser, we hold on to this idea that we're still being judged for our sins. And what we do wrong, we're being punished by God, or we're being kept away from his presence. That lie needs to be broken. So when we turn to face God in this whole thing of a season of refreshing, it's erasing from our minds that lie that our sins stand between us and God. Being able to recognize the price that Jesus paid. He doesn't need to pay it again. He's not appearing a second time to give an account or have us give an account for our sins. He's appearing in his people with his righteousness. And that's how God sees us. So it says, showers of blessing to refresh you. When God is able to wipe away from your thinking that fear of being punished, the shame that goes along with, you know, feeling, if you're holding on to this concept of sin, what you're doing is saying the cross wasn't enough. It was enough for a lot of people, but I guess it wasn't enough for me. And we're holding on to self-condemnation. We're holding on to shame. We're holding on to that voice of accusation that puts us down. God wants to erase that. And this is where the season of refreshing comes. As he's able to erase that lie from our thinking, we are refreshed and strengthened by the presence of the Lord. What does that do for us? It causes us to be more open to enter in to the fire of his presence. Okay. This is the Amplified Translation. It says, so repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, and return to God, meaning seek his purpose for your life, so that your sins may be completely erased. Again, from God's perspective, they've been erased. We're the ones that hold on to them. They need to be erased from our thinking and our conscious mind, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Again, the refreshing of the Lord is all about this change of thinking. And when our thinking changes, we're going to not be like the Israelites that said, Moses, go up the mountain. We want to hear what God has to say, but we're afraid of being exposed to his presence. Instead, we'll all be climbing the mountain together. Amen. That's what the will of God is. Refreshing brings about a couple of changes, and I want to just mention this morning. Joy and peace. Two fruits that I think we could use more of in our lives. When the Holy Spirit is doing the refreshing, there's joy and there's peace. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. This presence of fire that so many believers are afraid of is fullness of joy. When we're looking for joy from our circumstances, that's where we get deceived and confused. We all want good circumstances. You know, that goes without saying. Believer, unbeliever, everybody wants to be happy. But the joy that strengthens us, the joy that we need in our life, doesn't come from everything going our way. It comes from the presence of God, from the fire of God. Second thing is peace. This is John 14:27. Jesus said, my perfect peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance. Isn't that beautiful? And give you courage. So peace that we're looking for doesn't come from a false sense of control that we think we have over life. The more you mature, the more you realize how much you don't control. And we become more and more willing for God to lead our lives, right? That's maturity. The immature is the teenager that thinks he's invincible, he or she is invincible, and life's going to go the way I want it to go. Well, maturity teaches us otherwise. The peace that comes is bringing our soul to a place of rest where we're free from fear. Again, this season of refreshing, it brings the peace that Jesus talked about. It's not about our circumstances, but it's a place of inner rest where not only can we speak to the storm, be calm, but we can sleep in the boat where the storm doesn't affect our internal state. The seasons of refreshing that we need right now, it's all about the kingdom of God coming forth. You know, you look at the earth and get the kind of the big picture. There's so much that God is doing. It can be overwhelming. Where do I go? Where do I belong? What stadium do I run to? What group should I be a part of? You know what? Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. He said, listen, there'll be those that'll say, lo, it's here, lo, it's there. Don't follow them. So this thing of trying to externally identify with the kingdom, all it does is it breeds a lot of confusion and a lot of stress. The kingdom is within you. God will lead you where you need to be. There is so much he's doing over the earth that our minds, it's bigger than our minds. And it should be. There's a sense of mystery to the will of God, meaning that we can't figure it out. And we need to hold on to that. We need that sense of mystery where we trust him. The kingdom right now is opening up in a way where there are seasons of refreshing that are coming to us. And as these seasons of refreshing come, God's presence as a living fire is something that we welcome more and more, we enter into. As we become a people accustomed to that fire, the idolatry of this age is brought down. And that's what we're believing for. Amen. Let's stand.